This is Intercom number 8, Idaho College of Osteopathic Medicine in Meridian, Idaho. Hello, and welcome to the Osteopod. In today's episode, we interview another panel of students, this time from Idaho College of Osteopathic Medicine in Meridian, Idaho. Located 11 miles west of Boise, ICOM is a fairly new school, with its inaugural class starting in 2018. While they're new to the scene, ICOM has already been making a name for themselves with the ComPod, a podcast which accomplishes what I aim to do with my own podcast, which is to tell us about what it's like to be a student at ICOM. And I'll include a link to their podcast in the show notes as well. But for now, let's get into the interview with our panel of students, including Kiefer Starks, Faith Spratt, both of whom are second years, and Michael Kozdronkowitz, a first-year student. And I apologize if I said your name wrong. Finally, we're also joined by Stephanie Dillon, the Communications and Marketing Director for ICOM. And I want to thank her for setting up this podcast and panel, and for being on the show with us as well. So I'll let the panel introduce themselves and tell us how they got to ICOM, as well as to medicine in general, and why they chose DO.
Sweet. My name is Kiefer Starks. I'm a second-year medical student here at ICOM, Idaho born and raised guy. Did my undergrad at the University of Idaho in Moscow. I knew that I wanted to go into medicine. I wasn't really very familiar with the osteopath early on, but I went to an open house at Pacific Northwest University over in Yakima just to check it out and see what it was. I absolutely fell in love with the osteopathic approach to medicine. It actually completely flipped my perspective of medicine upside down. And when I applied for medical school, I strictly applied the DO route, something I hold near and dear to me. I have a family of nurses, and the holistic care, all in approaching patient care model with preventative aspects and OMT really just spoke to me. So I applied to 4 schools here in the Northwest, all close to home. ICOM is great because it just opened and it kind of attracted me with all the shiny new things they had and just a couple hours from home. And so here I am.
I'm Mike Kozdronkowitz, originally from Chicago, Illinois. I have known that I wanted to go to med school since, I don't know, I was probably 8 or 9. I had like a little funny thing that happened to me. And through that, I was just kind of like, knowledge is power. So I was like, med school is going to be the route for me. I interviewed out here and completely took me by surprise. I always thought that Idaho just had potatoes, so I was expecting flat lands, and then I ended up flying out here, and it's just a gorgeous, beautiful area. The school is brand new, and like Kiefer said, all the shiny bells and whistles and everything, so it just drew me in and loved every minute. And then I am a first year, unlike these two, so perspective than they have.
Yeah, I'm Faith Spratt. I'm a second-year medical student here at ICOM. I'm from Rapid City, South Dakota, which is right by Mount Rushmore, so I'm very familiar with Mount Rushmore and the faces on a rock. And I wanted to do medical school for a really long time, since I was like 10. And I just, it's really cliche, but I wanted to help people. And I didn't really, that's all I really knew until I went to undergrad at an engineering school in South Dakota. And I was like, I don't engineer. Nothing against engineers, they're awesome, but it's just not for me. I chose DO because in undergrad I scribed in the ER, and I really I followed a DO a couple times, and I really like the whole patient approach. I feel like oftentimes it's easy to get stuck on, you know, your tunnel vision and do one thing instead of looking at everything, and so that's why I really like the osteopathic route. So that's why I chose to do that, and I interviewed out here at ICOM, and I absolutely love the people, the area, and so I just knew that this was the school for me. And it, plus it was like a brand new school, all new facilities, and also being the inaugural class was something that really appealed to me because we can kind of set the tone for the classes to come.
I'm Stephanie Dillon. I'm the Communications and Marketing Director for ICOM. I originally started out as a television reporter. For about a decade, I did television news and transitioned into relations with a focus on education. And I was working at the local ABC affiliate here in the Boise area when I heard that this position opened up. And I've always wanted to work at a startup, and I wanted to explore more about the public relations field. And so I applied, and that's how I got here.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. So tell me a little bit more about what it's like to live in Meridian, Idaho.
I think I can speak for all of us when I say that a lot of people come to Idaho, like kind of like Mike said, not really knowing what to expect. And Idaho is known as the Gem State. That's our nickname. And I would say it's kind of representative in the way that it's kind of a hidden gem in the Northwest. People come here and they fall in love because it's a safe area. Meridian is currently the 7th fastest growing city in the United States. So there's tons to do here. They just opened a brand new climbing gym right across the street. You go 45 minutes into the mountains and you're at a ski resort. You go an hour north and you're in the Boise National Forest where you can raft. There's hiking trails. There's, you know, riding, go-karts. It's a very unique area because, in my opinion, not very many cities I've been to, you can go walk around downtown in the middle of the night and not have to look over your shoulder. And Boise's definitely unique in that it's safe. You can walk around. You can do the green belt, which is right along the Boise River, and ride your bike, and you don't have to feel like in danger. You guys have any? What do you have to add about Boise?
I mean, the way I like to describe it is that it's a big city in a small package, essentially. So I don't know of many of my friends or anything at other med schools that can go across the street and go rock climbing in the morning before classes, come to classes, you know, do what they need to in med school, and then head out for night skiing at the end of the day. It's just such a wonderful place. We're considered a high desert here, so temperature stays pretty temperate throughout the year, doesn't fluctuate greatly. There's always something to do out here. It's a great area. Like Kiefer said, it's expanding very quickly. So pretty much anything that we want to do, we can do within like a 6-mile radius.
Yeah. Also, I really like food, and I feel like there's a lot of eclectic places to eat around here that aren't your typical chain restaurant. And like every, you know, so often you can just go walk around downtown and find somewhere new to eat that you've never experienced before. So that's, I think that's something fun too that I'd like to add. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's the Treasure Valley, so a great place to raise a family. A lot of our students do have families. They're married with children. And a lot of the spouses love to say that it's just a really great place to raise a family. The educational system here is great. It's the Treasure Valley is a place that's very conducive to family life.
Can you tell us more about the cost of living as well as the housing situation around the campus?
So ICOM does not offer housing. Students are on their own when it comes to looking at different housing options and what works best for them. Something that we like to offer is in the summer before, or maybe spring, before classes start, we share contact information with the students and their soon-to-be peers to help them arrange some housing if they're single and would love roommates. But we have a lot of housing options around Meridian and Boise, apartments, houses, townhouses. I find that more of our single students like to live in Boise because it's closer to downtown for the nightlife. A lot of families love the Meridian area. It's more like suburbia, I guess you would say. So they prefer that. Do you guys feel comfortable sharing like what your rent sure. and utilities are?
Yeah, go for it.
So, I mean, I live about 2.5 miles from campus. So commute's really easy in the morning. I live in a single. I am by myself, one bedroom, and I pay right around $1,000 with everything. And that includes, they have like TV packages and they have water and everything included. The only upcharge I have is gas and electric, which ends up being like $30 a month. So it's not bad at all.
Yeah, I live with my husband, but we live really close to like the Boise Mall and like a lot of shows. I think we pay a little bit more. It's about $1,200 total with utilities included, and the ones they pay for and the ones we pay for. But I could walk to like the mall and the whole shopping center if I really wanted to, and I'm probably only like I think I'm like 5 minutes from the airport. Like, so I live a farther away from campus, but it's still only like 5 or 6 miles. So it's, everything's really close and really easily accessible.
Yeah. I got a steal of a deal on my, I have a single family home that I share with one roommate, and it has an office and a bathroom and a garage and a backyard. And I pay right around $1,250. Well, the house to collectively is $1,250. So six something a person. And it's really close to Faith, actually. Right next to the Boise Mall and grocery stores and shopping and close to downtown, but only like a 15-20 minute drive to school. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a huge complex next to school too that a majority of first years are actually living in, and they have doubles and triples, and they end up paying under $500 a month per person. So very affordable.
What was interview day like for you guys?
I'd say my experience is probably a little different. I was actually at the very first interview that ICOM offered back when the building wasn't even built. So it was great. Everybody was very welcoming. I think the excitement of them definitely fueled my excitement, because they were just as excited to have their first round of interviewees as to be in their first round of interviewees. So everybody was really welcoming. It wasn't like some of the other interviews I went to where it was very stern and uncomfortable and they're kind of drilling you. It was really just, who are you as a person? Our dean used to say that the interviewees would have to take the mom test. Like, would you want this person to take care of your mom type of thing? They just want to make sure, for me, what I remember, that it was a good fit and that you like the area and that you like the school and that you're passionate about osteopathic principles and practices. And what about you guys?
ICOM actually had the best interview. For me, the experience was the best because it wasn't so much so like MMI style or, you know, where you're sitting in front of a panel getting hounded by questions and whatnot. They basically pretty much told us right in the beginning that you've met our requirements, so you're smart enough to be here. Now the whole interview process is, do you fit in with the culture? Are you comfortable? Are we comfortable having you here? So it was a very down-to-earth, kind of relaxing day, and I felt very comfortable. And everyone's super friendly during interview day. It's still to this day, everyone's super friendly. So it made me feel right at home, like I'm a part of the community versus just being a random number that is going to go to school here. So,
yeah, I don't think I have anything to add. That pretty much sums it up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the campus and what you like about it, and maybe if there's something that could be improved about it, what would it be?
Campus turned out to be even better than I thought it would be. I mean, it just has so many cool things, and there's a lot of awesome spaces. We have tons of study rooms, and each of them are equipped with like Apple TV, so we can AirPlay things onto the screen if you want to do group study or just want to study on your own and draw on the whiteboard. The like study rooms in the library are equipped with like the Varidesk, so you can stand and study if you want to. There are quiet spaces, there are louder spaces. And also, since we're an Apple Distinguished School, we use all Apple products. So I really like that because IT is always ready for whatever you need. For example, I have broken about 3 Apple pencils, and I've been able to be helped each time. So I really like that. And it's a really nice place to be like cozy and comfortable at, you know what I mean? Because I feel like your study space has to facilitate your learning. And if you're not studying somewhere that you can actually like focus, then it's not worth it. So that's what I love about our campus.
I mean, we have a cafe here as well, so there's always coffee available. And if you need to pick up snacks, we can get most snacks. Yeah,
there's also so many windows. I feel like some of the schools that I was at interviewing or just visiting friends, it's always kind of dark and grungy. But here at ICOM, everything is windows. Like our whole lab is just floor to ceiling windows. It's just natural light. It's actually really nice. And you know, when you're cooped up all day trying to learn biochem or whatever, you're still able to get that vitamin D.
I think from an executive administration standpoint, the only thing we would add to campus to make it better would be more offices. We're finding that we're running out of office space as our faculty and staff continue to grow. And we ran into the issue of not having enough parking, so we had to create a satellite parking lot. So having a larger parking lot from the get-go would have been helpful too.
Tell us about the first 2 years of med school there. What's the curriculum like? What is a typical day, typical week like there? give us the details.
I would say Faith and I have a very different, our experience is very different than Mike's is. Like Faith mentioned, we were kind of pioneering the way. We made a lot of changes for the coming class. Just for example, last year we had mandatory attendance every day. You had to come to lecture. So that was something we fought very, very hard for because a lot of students don't like to go to class. So this year, attendance is only mandatory if there's some sort of alternate learning activity or OMM lab or, you know, anatomy lab or small group, clinical small groups in the afternoon, something like that. But this year it's very nice because we finally have a little bit more time on our own to self-study, especially as boards are coming up in June, which fingers crossed that goes well. But our curriculum is a systems-based curriculum. So we start with like a scientific foundations of medicine class, or we call it clinical foundations. I think many schools have a similar first block. And that covers a lot of your foundational biochem, pharmacology, pathology, immunology, that kind of stuff. And then you move into your systems, and they're all encompassing of all the pharm, micro, path.
So first semester was clinical foundations, like Kiefer said. And then we moved into MSK and then our blood, immune, and infection course, which rounded out the semester. And then this semester, I'm currently doing cardio. And then right after that, we move on to respiratory and neuro. We have, with that, like Kiefer mentioned, we have alternate learning activities. So like small group learning, or we'll sit down with the instructors and they'll go, you know, in depth about reading HE and finding abnormalities and stuff like that. So it's not always just getting lectured at. I personally don't like to go to lectures, but that's because I would rather, you know, wake up and go work out and then come to class and then just kind of at my own speed, listen through it and find the details I need to. But we do offer now, we do have live streaming the lectures, we have playback, so we can watch it at 2x speed or whatever, and that's available 10 minutes after the class ends. Or you can decide to actually go to lecture and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You guys covered it.
We also have a course called the Caring Competent Physician course. That's where we get like our soft topics, like, you know, malpractice and law and motivational interviewing and biostats and all that kind of stuff. And something unique, because we're on the Idaho State University campus, we also have an interprofessional education course. So we. Nursing students over, pharmacy students, speech language pathologists,
PAs.
PAs, and they come over and we have a group lecture where we're all, you know, mingling together. And then we break up into small groups and go through cases or learn about each other's scope of practice or code of ethics, how the chain of command works, and how to work as a team so that we're really ready to go come third and fourth year with what we should be, you know, how each member of the team functions and should function.
Do you have electives?
So our electives, we're supposed to kick off this spring, but they're going to save them for the fall. The things like wilderness medicine elective, nutrition, and all that kind of stuff will be offered for students to start taking. And then they just launched last week a dual partnership with ISU, where we can get a DO MHA degree. So that's all completely fine, and you'll be able to work at your own pace. They recommend that you start at your third year. And you can do it any year, but it's only 8 classes because a lot of it's waived from our curriculum. So work at your own pace, and then you'll graduate at the end of the 4 years with both degrees.
Do you guys have anything else to add about that? Well, it's just the part. He sent out that partnership email. We can do an epidemiology rotation now at the CDC and that kind of stuff.
How well do you think OMT is taught there?
Yeah, so I think ICOM has equipped us very well with our OMT skills. Our OMT faculty, they are all NMM certified, or they have their NMM fellowship, like they're board certified. And so as far as like OPP, our course goes, they have been preparing us since day one for boards. And that's like, honestly, each exam has been cumulative. So like, for us, for Kiefer and I, we're getting things still from like first year. So when we started doing HVLA, like thoracic and lumbar, we started getting also tested on like counter strain or
a counter strain that we did last year. And so we took a test the end of last year through TrueLearn ComBank or something, and it was compared to national averages, and we were like way above the average for ONT because of this. And they're all very, very passionate about osteopathic medicine. So pass that on to us, and just to see somebody be so happy about it and be so excited about it really makes us excited about it. I think I speak for the students in general from ICOM when I say that they're excited to go out and use the skills they've learned. I know that we go to Valley, Idaho here in town, and we take students, our faculty take students, and we work on patients like actively. So there's always opportunity to use what you learn. And I know the three of us have done something in some form out off of campus, you know, because we like doing it. We want to try it on people. We want to help people and show them what OMT is and kind of do that. So anything you guys would like to add?
It's just really refreshing to see a group of our faculty so passionate about it. They really don't want us to fall into the large pool of osteopathic physicians that learn it and then never use it. So it's just, they really try to make sure that we can see every opportunity where, I mean, obviously there's not be a ton of instances where things are just moving too fast and you're not going to want to, you know, do rib raise coding patient or something like that. But like, they provide us with just like this very holistic model of looking at a patient and using the skills that we've learned on top of just traditional medicine, and being excited about it so that we want to do it. And I think that's really important. It's really important.
It's just having that extra tool in our tool bag.
And also to the curriculum for OPP, we are, the faculty are making videos currently. So we have all of the techniques on our fingertips on our iPads that we can watch at any time, any technique that we've learned or haven't learned. And they're actually working on making that into a platform that like DO students and anybody, physicians, practicing physicians can use to look at if they want to refresh or for CME or to use in the future. And the videos are like excellent. They go through and describe each step. They show it. They demonstrate it really well, and you can watch it as many times as you want. And oftentimes they have us watch the videos before we come to labs, so we're somewhat prepared, and then we can actually just work on figuring out the best way to do it and actually doing the techniques rather than, you know, coming in and talking about it. So I think we spend a lot more time actually doing than here's how you do it. We get hands-on. So
it's the comprehensive video library that has nearly 400 videos, and it just launched this week. It was made public, and it's categorized into about 25 different categories. I can't name all of them. Like I don't even know all of them. Yeah, for like techniques strain, and treatments, HLA, yeah. Cranial, thoracic. Am I a doctor? So yeah, so that's available. And it's a subscription-based digital resource. So it's $10 per month or $75 for the year, and it gives you access to all of those videos. But our students get it for free.
What opportunities do you guys have for research?
Oh yeah.
There's a ton.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got our own wet research lab here, brand new, fully equipped. We've got some really cool projects. You can see it on the website of all of our faculty and what their projects are. But in addition to that, got a whole research team. Faith and I are currently over at St. Alphonsus, which is one of the larger hospital systems in the area. I'm doing research on osmotic demyelination syndrome in the ICU, and
I'm doing stuff with hyperbarics.
Yeah.
Some research, yeah. Wound care clinic, that kind of stuff.
And they just provide a lot of opportunities throughout the year. You just apply for them, and you know they want everybody to make sure that we all have the option to do it if we want it. So,
are there any special support groups for families, spouses, children, and the like, as well as mental health counseling and educational support as well?
Yeah, you know.
So for like families and spouses, I personally am not like familiar with the club, but I know it exists because we get a lot of like cool things from them. I think it's called the
Student Advocate Association.
Yeah.
And so it's run by, it's like has a president and a vice, but like it has like, you know, officers that are spouses of students here, and they put on like a lot of fun things. Right now they have a program going where it's like accountability and wellness, and they're like doing a competition and you can win a prize for like doing things for yourself and those kinds of things. For mental health, we actually, we've always had Student Link and, you know, most of the main resources, but we recently brought in a counselor from ISU that is available Mondays and Thursdays from 12 to 5 here on campus. And our insurance pays for most of it. And then what doesn't get covered, ICOM will cover for you. So, you know, if you need something like that, it's definitely here and it's really easy to access.
They take mental health very seriously. At the beginning of each year, they want us all to get QPR certified so that we can recognize the signs and symptoms of somebody who's suicidal and, you know, help them get the help that they, because they realize that that's a big deal, especially in our field.
How about service opportunities? Do you have those too?
Yeah. So we're all members of the Community Outreach Committee, which is a branch of our Student Government Association. What we do is we just provide opportunities for students to go out and get in the community. We've got a website of all volunteer opportunities in Treasure Valley. And then people reach out to us all the time, just needing volunteers for like events for special needs. This Friday, there's a special needs prom that they want volunteers for. So there's going to be students there. This Saturday, we're putting on a health fair, community health fair, where members of the community can come in and get a physical exam, get a OMT screening and treatment. The mammogram truck will be here. We're going to do a stop the bleed course, that kind of stuff. We also provide opportunities for students to go to care homes and, you know, just provide comfort and conversation to the older generation, take blood pressures, that kind of stuff. You know, it's not about outreach for your guys' clubs.
I mean, there are, myself included, there are a lot of students that will go out into the community and just find volunteer opportunities. So like I volunteer at the VA. There's, we ended up volunteering with the Children's Museum a few months back. They had a little charity relay run thing to get kids outside instead of just being inside all day. So we helped out with that. There's always a ton of opportunities. The school provides a rather extensive list of things that we can do. And then otherwise you can just go out and find them yourself as well. Oh, and then every year during orientation, we have the opportunity to go help out at our local food bank. So a lot of the orientees will end up going. I think there's 100 of us when we started, and just a lot of people continue to volunteer at the food bank and just finding ways to reach out to the community.
Going off of that too, just reminded our SOMA Association here at ICOM also did Narcan training for students. So we all have access to it where we can go out in the community and train people who are at risk for opioid overdose and provide the Narcan to them, show them how to use it in case that ever happens. So that's a pretty cool thing that we do too.
And the Idaho.
Yeah. Oh, and one more thing, we get early clinical experience at the free community clinics, Genesis and Terry Riley. So we help out at the community clinics as well.
Can you tell us more about clubs and interest groups at your school?
There are a ton, and there are even like subcommittees. I don't know what you want to call them. Like IMU, I have an IM club, and then there's like cardiology under that, and like radiology and pathology and those kind of things. And they hold a lot of events. It's pretty easy to be a member, and it's often easy to get involved even further if you want to be an officer or want a higher position. A big thing I feel like a lot of the clubs do is provide guest speakers that we wouldn't normally get to talk to. You know, we had like I think it was a neuropsychologist recently that the student interest group for neurology brought in, and, you know, cardiologists, kind of more exposure for people who don't know quite what they're interested in, kind of getting, and they bring in like older and younger physicians, so we can kind of get the perspective on those who just finished residency as opposed to those who've been practicing for a really long time, you know, oncology, all kinds of things. So I think that's really a nice thing to have.
One thing that I really enjoyed being the inaugural class was the opportunity to create our own clubs and kind of make them what they wanted to be. I teamed up with a couple guys and we created the Wilderness Medicine Interest Group off of Emergency Med. And it's actually been a really big interest at our school. The Pacific Northwest just has so many outdoorsy things that it's just really awesome to see and be a part of creating for future students to come.
So let's talk about third and fourth year. How do you guys decide where you go to rotate? And can you tell us a little bit more about what the curriculum looks like during third and fourth year?
Yeah, so ICOM's mission is the 5-state region of Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, and the Dakotas. So that's primarily where our core spots are. We've got a core spot in the Hamptons in New York, and in Southampton in New York, and Corinth, Mississippi. And then we're growing as well, but we've got 3 core sites here in Idaho, 1 in Montana, 2 in South Dakota, 1 in North Dakota, and then Mississippi and New York as well, with a ton of affiliated sites in the 5-state region. So in regards to how we sit, who got where, it was a process. Obviously, I feel like a lot of schools can relate that not everybody's going to be happy with where they go, because it's, for us, it's more like a lottery kind of thing. They want you to go back to where you came from, but it's hard to...
In a loving way.
In a loving way. They want you to go back and serve the community that you came from. And, but we face so many issues with everybody falling in love with the area, the Boise area, that everybody wants to stay. So they did like a hardship thing. If you have kids in K through 12, if you're married and your spouse is in a degree program or has a significant career, things like that, you can apply for a hardship to stay in the area or close to the area. And then people from each state will get first choice if they want it. And then it goes to a general lottery where you rank where you want to go. And then they release those results. Anything I'm missing, Faith?
So for the curriculum for third and fourth year, we obviously have our blocks. So there are 12 blocks of third year and 10 fourth year. And it's, you know, EM, family med, IM, some specialty, general surgery, those kinds of the typical, you know, rotations that a medical school has. We're also getting an elective third year that's going to be anywhere you want it to be, pending that it's like an affiliated site, which I think the school's going to be really good about getting affiliations are new and, you know, are going to forge the way. And then fourth year is just going to be electives, you know, your vacation month and prep for comlets. So.
Yeah.
In addition to level 1 and 2, are you required to take the USMLE?
Yeah, a lot of us, it's definitely not required. Like, so they give us the option here. They provide us with all the resources that we need to make an educated decision on whether or not it's worth it, you know? So I think a good majority of our class, I would say, is planning to take both, but it's definitely not required. A lot of our military students, especially, just want to take COMLEX.
In your opinion, is there anything that could be better about ICOM?
The only thing that I wish was a little bit different about ICOM would be a pass-fail system. So we are on the graded system, ABC, fail. I think if we move to a pass-fail system, it might, you know, eliminate some of the anxiety some students feel. But otherwise, I don't see anything besides that would change.
It's been really, I feel very fortunate to have chosen a school that it's had its up and downs over the past year, but looking back, they have been really receptive to student feedback. What we found and what we think is important in our own medical career, I mean, such as the mandatory attendance, that was something we had to, you know, ask for 20,000 times. An exam review. We didn't have an exam review for the first 8 months of our first year. And we pushed for it. And I mean, it wasn't overnight, but we ended up getting a new software. And now we have that stuff. So we all know change doesn't happen overnight. And I feel like the more students that I talk to at different medical schools, everybody's got bumps in their road. Everybody's got, you know, faculty or professors that they just don't get along with and that other people do. But honestly, I feel like ICOM is a great school. We've got a bunch of really, 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 really smart professors who really care about our success beyond just board exams. They want us to be quality physicians who, you know, can care for a patient at their weakest time. And they don't just care about disease or prevention. They really want us to see a patient for the whole patient. And it just comes across in the way that they lecture and in the way that they teach us. So, yeah, I would say that, you know, there's things being not everybody's, but at the same time, they are working towards the changes that we are asking for. So it's just really refreshing.
And it's interesting because it's not just from the student perspective either. I mean, ICOM is essentially a startup organization. And so what we needed day one when the vision of ICOM was announced is not what faculty and staff need support wise as we sit here today. And so it's been interesting to witness the evolution of not only a growing school, but a growing business and the maturation process. I can still remember when we were interviewing students at our makeshift office space prior to us having this beautiful building that we're sitting in, and the needs were different than what they are now. And it's just a growing process. Now we are an adolescent and we're trying to figure out, you know, how to make it to adulthood in the years to come. So it's definitely from every side, not just the student side. But yeah, just constantly evolving, changing, moving in an upward direction.
Any final thoughts about your school, in addition to any pieces of advice that you would give a prospective student, not only interested in ICOM, but in going to a DO school in general?
I mean, I love it here. Mm-hmm. If I had to make my decision over again, I'd choose ICOM again.
It's just so, I mean, I don't know every medical school in the country, but I just feel like we're so unique in the location that we're at and the people that we have, that I am in the same boat. I know a lot of people are worried about taking that leap of going to a school that's pre-accredited or, you know, doesn't quite have financial aid from the government yet. But if you're willing to make that leap, like so many of us have, I really don't feel like there's a lot of people who regretted it. So
no matter where you decide to go, and whatever career choice you decide to go down, whether it's being MD or DO, just make sure you're comfortable where you are, because your school will become your home for the next couple of years. So I cannot imagine waking up in the morning being mad that I have to go to school. Yeah, whether you choose ICOM or somewhere else, just make sure that you want to get up in the morning, you want to go to school, you want to learn, you want to be involved.
Similarly, I would just say, you know, if you can get an interview school, it's you've proven that you're smart enough to get. Now it's just be yourself. Don't try to put on a fake front to the people who are interviewing you, because it's just as important for you to like somewhere as it is for them to like you. And maybe you don't get into the top choice school, but maybe it's because you are a good fit for the area or for the school's mission. So just be open and receptive to that, because I mean, nobody knew 5 years ago where they were going to be or where they wanted to go to med school. But just being open and being yourself will help you make the right decision of where you should be.
Yeah, and just make sure you don't discourage, because this process can be pretty difficult, and you know, it can be discouraging. You know, that's easier said than done, right? And don't forget why you're doing what you're doing, because I feel like in the midst of interviewing, whether you do 2 interviews or 100 interviews and you're paying all this money and, you know, all that good stuff, just remember why you're doing it, and it'll be worth it.
Just want to give a big thanks to Mike, Faith, and Kiefer, as well as Stephanie, for being on the show and talking about ICOM. And I'm grateful for what I learned about the school, and it sounds like a great place to go to school. Once again, I'll include a link to the main webpage of ICOM, as well as the Choose DO website for ICOM. And I won't forget to put the podcast link as well from ICOM, if you would like to listen to it and gain some more insight to what it's like at this school. If you have any suggestions for the show or any feedback and you just want to get in touch with me, feel free to do so at theosteopod@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter @theosteopod. But once again, thank you for listening, and hope to catch you on the next one.